Merry Christmas, everybody. Oh, that was pitiful. Well, you're tired of saying it. You've read to people multiple times, and now they don't want to say it to me. Could we do less before I get up here next time so that they really mean it? Thank you. Appreciate it. We are so glad that you're hanging out with us today. If we haven't had the chance to meet, my name's Jason. I'm one of the pastors here, and we are thrilled that you're spending your Christmas Eve with us. Now, the reality is this. Every year around this time, we find ourselves asking or being asked a very similar question, and the question is this: what do you want for Christmas? And depending on your age, the answer changes. Like when you're a kid, you want toys. And if you're a little older like I am, I like thinking back and going, what were some of my favorite toys? How many of you, just real quick show of hands, can remember what your favorite toys were when you were a kid? Anybody? Yes? I have pictures of a few of mine from the back. If you would help me, here we go. Here's one. This is an Atari 2600. That's right. Anybody else have an Atari back in the day? Yes, exactly right. Bringing us great games like Space Invaders, Pitfall, Frogger, and Donkey Kong. I also had one of these, really nice. It was a Mongoose BMX 360. If you will recall from Father's Day a few years ago, I told a story about how this bike was stolen out of the front of my yard. My father walked off into the woods and after it had been stolen, and then he came back pushing that bike. Now, I didn't ask any questions, but we're glad that Dad is still with us. Was a great gift. You'll notice in this picture, no helmet included. And by that I mean we weren't gonna spend more money on a helmet. You're just gonna, you get out there and you be careful. And if you do something that hurts your skull, just don't do that again. Like that's how we did it in the 1980s. Also had one of these, don't know if you did. How about this? This is classic 1980s go-kart. Did anybody have a classic 1980s go-kart? This is real nice right here. Also wanna point out, no helmet. And so my parents thought, hey, if you can handle the bike, we're just gonna give you a few more miles per hour and let you handle the go-kart. This is me as a child with all three of my gifts right here. You'll see the Atari and my bike and the go-kart right there. AI is an amazing thing, everybody. That is not my body, it is my face. That is actually me. Now I wanna go ahead and say what you're thinking. You're looking at that picture and going, well, no wonder they didn't buy you a helmet. Look at that head of hair you got on you. It looks like a helmet, plus your front teeth are so big, you're just gonna hit those and your skull's gonna be fine. It's fine, I'm okay with who I am. You can think it, I'll say it out loud, totally, totally fine. Being a kid at Christmas is the best. Now when you're a teenager, maybe you don't really want toys as much as you want clothes and shoes. I have had some teenagers, this is what, clothes, shoes, gift cards, just to get what you want, because really what you want is your freedom. So just give me something and let me do what I wanna do with it. When you're an adult, you want things like money to pay for the toys and the clothes. Or you just want sleep, really. You just want a good night of sleep when you're an adult. That's a great gift. Maybe you just want a bit of peace. Like one meal with your family where no one argues. Like that would be the best Christmas ever. Now, the reality is for so many of us here this afternoon, Christmas time really is the most wonderful time of the year. The lights are up, the music is familiar, the traditions are comforting, and for a few weeks, it almost feels the way we wish it always felt. Warm, safe, and whole. And at the exact same time, for a lot of other people, maybe you here with us this afternoon, the Christmas season seems, let's just say, complicated. Even this past Sunday, as we taught through Matthew 2 here at Fellowship, we were reminded that the Christmas story isn't simply sentimental. It's threaded with grief and adversity and disruption. And that at times creates this internal lack of congruence or harmony for many of us, like the nostalgia of what Christmas is supposed to feel like colliding with the reality of what our lives actually feel like right now. And that's why I think the message that we most need at Christmas isn't just a cheer up or make the most of the season or new year, new you kind of message. I think what we need is something strong enough to meet us in real life, something that doesn't collapse the moment the decorations come down, the family leaves town, and January shows up. You know, as a pastor, I talk with a lot of people, and I listen to a lot of people talking. And what I often hear is this, that right beneath the surface of how we present ourselves, we are actually people carrying around a profound amount of fear. Fear about relationships, fear about our health, fear about the future, fear that we won't be enough, fear that we won't have enough, fear we'll lose those that we love, fear that life is more fragile than we want to admit. And so the question that many of us sit with this time each year isn't whether Christmas feels warm and cozy and nostalgic and familiar, because the truth is, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't. The question I would love for us to consider for just a few moments this afternoon on this Christmas Eve that I think is on our mind more than we are willing to admit or share with others is this question. Is there a hope that actually speaks to our fear instead of just distracting us from it for a week or two at Christmas time? Earlier in the service, we heard the words of Luke 2. And for years now, come Christmas time, many of us read and think about Luke 2. We might recall Christmas pageants we were in when we were growing up. We might recall Linus quoting Luke 2 and Charlie Brown's Christmas story. But if you really think about those verses we read and looked at earlier, that we often associate with peaceful nativity scenes and sweet candlelight services, the fact of the matter is, those verses aren't calm at all. They're actually pretty terrifying. I mean, think about it with me if you would. Shepherds doing what shepherds do, watching sheep out in the field in the night, and then an angel appears. The glory of the Lord blazing around them, lighting everything up. And Luke actually tells us that they, the shepherds, were filled with great fear. They were terrified. When you translate this word from Greek, it doubles the word, and the word here is the word for phobic, as in phobia, as in freaked out. The shepherds were phobic. Or as your Bible might say, they feared a great fear. And I think in this familiar Christmas passage, you actually see one of the main ideas that shows up throughout the Bible. And the idea is this, that shows up time and time again. Men love the darkness, and the light of God actually terrifies them. We fear with a great fear. What I'm saying is, the glory light that is Christmas is not soothing. And anyone that has come to know Jesus actually knows this. Just like the shepherds. You see their response. They didn't see the glory of the Lord shining in the night sky and grab a cup of coffee and snuggle up with the other shepherds. Hey guys, look, an angel. Let's all sit together and see what they have to say to us tonight. How fun. We're making Christmas memories, right? No, great fear. And the angel knows what their response will be to the glory of the Lord shining around them, because what does he say? He actually says, don't be afraid. I bring you good news, or fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. The good news, the good tidings, that is the gospel. This is what it says in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. An angel shows up and says, fear not, because the Savior is here. Is there a hope that actually speaks to our fear instead of just distracting us from it for a week or two at Christmas? The answer to that is yes. Our hope is the Savior, Christ the Lord. But you might be sitting there thinking, Jason, how does that actually work? I don't think you understand my situation. I don't think you know everything that I got going on in my life that I am freaking out about, that if I'm not freaking out about it, who's gonna be freaking out about it? Because it's not great. And you know what? You're right. I probably don't know or understand the specifics, but I would suggest, based off of all of my conversations through the years, that there are a couple of things we should understand in regards to fearing not. And the first thing we must understand and accept is that we do all actually, apart from Jesus, live in fear. If you want the good news of the gospel to change you, then that has to start with you acknowledging who you are apart from the gospel. And who you are and who I am apart from the gospel are a people who are freaking out. Like, think about it with me. What would have helped the shepherds not be afraid when the glory of the Lord shined around them? Would it be a better understanding of theology maybe if they had gone to Bible school or a good Christian high school or a solid student ministry or church? They would have known what was going on. They wouldn't have freaked out. You see, their problem was not an intellectual one. Their problem is the problem that is fundamental to all humanity and all mankind for all time. Like, go all the way back to the beginning of your Bibles. A guy by the name of Adam, a lady by the name of Eve. We're told that they too walked with God. They actually loved the light of God. And then one day, they decided to be their own rulers. They're gonna be their own masters. And on that day, everything changed. On that day, the glory of God came upon them and they were sore afraid. You can read about it in Genesis 3. God comes to go on his daily walk with Adam. He goes, hey, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Well, I'm hiding over here. Well, why are you hiding, Adam? And it says in Genesis 3:10 what Adam's reply was. You want to guess? Three words. I was afraid. And since that day, we've all been running and hiding. Humanity is ruled by fear. What is the outworking of being ruled by fear? It is hiding and trying to make yourself safe in other things. It is trying to find yourself safe in anything but God. And that's different for all of us. For some people, it's their job. For other people, it's their family. For other people, it's their friends or their money or their health or their talent or their looks. Humanity, apart from Jesus, we as humans, we live in fear and we try to find safety in these other things. But here's the deal. I know you know this. We all know, we actually all already know that those other things don't actually keep us safe. They don't actually bring peace. Now, we'll tell ourselves we're safe if we have them. But here's what we all know while we tell ourselves that. We all know we could what? Lose it. Whatever that is. How many of us have lost our jobs? A lot of hands would go up. As a result, how many of us have lost money because we lost our job? A lot of hands would go up. How many of you actually think you're actually getting better looking with age? You're not. It's not going well for you or for me, right? It's all fading. Some of you right now are going, yeah, but Jason, did you see your picture when you were a kid? You've really had a glow up, as the kids say. Anyway, how about this? Keeping your family together is actually not just your decision. They could leave tomorrow. God could take them tomorrow. We actually know all of that. The fact is this, even though we know it, we don't like it when people point it out to us. We get angry, we get frustrated, or sometimes we just avoid people who want to keep reminding us that what we're putting our hope in actually isn't the thing. Some of you, if you're honest, like that's the deal with church for you. You think the pastor is gonna remind you once again, hey, you're putting your hope in something that's pointless, and you already know you're putting your hope in something that's pointless. So yeah, maybe we come to a service every now and then. Maybe we think that's what good people do, or we're here because our parents want us to be here, or we're here because our kids want us to be here. But man, I can't keep having someone remind me regularly that what I'm trying to find security in every day of my life is actually pointless, because I already know that it's pointless, but I'm still holding on to it. That's the deal. We live with such fear. Some of us are afraid of being rejected, and some of us afraid of not doing enough to matter, and some of us afraid that we don't really control the future. And I'm not sure what your fear is, but at the root of it is a mistrusting of a God who actually loves you, cares about you, and has your best interest in mind. It's the same thing that Adam and Eve did. Nothing new under the sun. So what do we do? It's a great question. If we live in fear, and we have since sin came into the world, like what is the answer to living afraid? Well, Merry Christmas, because I would suggest we draw near to the light and let it shatter every preconceived notion of who we think we are and where we think safety and security is actually found. You know, the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings does that. Because the reality is this: you think you know who you are, and then God comes close. This is true for all of us that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. God came close, and we found ourselves afraid, looking for peace in anything and everything. And that gets exposed when God comes close. When God came close, the prophet Isaiah said, "Woe is me." When God came close, Job said, "I despise myself." When God came close, Peter said, "Depart from me, Jesus, because I'm a sinful man." You see, coming to Jesus means seeing who you truly are apart from him, and then who he is and what he's offering you. This is what it says in verse 10 of Luke 2. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, and it'll be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Don't you see? Christmas isn't the denial of fear, it's heaven's answer to it. The arrival of Jesus means God has come near, not to condemn you, but to save you. And if that is true, then Christmas isn't just the season we survive. It's actually the beginning of a life where we no longer have to live afraid. And we can put down all the things that we've been clinging to in this world, trying to soothe our fear, yet knowing, we know, they'll never actually truly bring us peace. I mentioned Charlie Brown a few moments ago. I actually want to watch the clip. It's a well-known clip. Keep your eyes on Linus.
I guess I really don't know what Christmas is all about. Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men."
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Did you see it? Linus dropped his blanket as soon as he said, "Fear not." A lot of people think that Charles Schulz put that in there on purpose. What are you clinging to, thinking that it'll calm your fear, be your security? If it is true that a Savior was born, then that actually means there is no need to fear. So those of you that are fearing because you're a perfectionist, I want to let you know this afternoon that Jesus is sufficiently perfect. For those of you today who are living in fear of rejection, I want to tell you today that a Savior was born who was ultimately rejected so that you could be accepted. For those of you living in fear that if someone knows the real you, they will throw you away, I want to tell you that he sees the real you. What you've done, what you're currently doing, and get a load of this, everything you will ever do, all the things you think others will reject you because of, he says, "I know all of that. Fear not. I want a relationship with you." But it's not just that a Savior was born. The angel also said, "He is born as Christ the Lord." So I would say, as we conclude, if you want true peace in your life and if you want peace on earth, let him actually be the Lord of your life. And by that, I mean this. He actually is the one who gets all the glory from your life, not you. That you and I glorify him, make much of him, exalt him with everything. Again, in Luke 2, we read that more angels showed up, and it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace amongst those in whom he is pleased." What is his glory? What is the glory of God? It is his significance. It's the weight of who he is, and he is so huge, massive, that we can't keep it in. We order our life around it, not just at Christmas, every day of every year for all of our years. Because he is the only one that truly gives this life, our life, meaning, purpose, and peace. So, later on this evening, as the lights glow and the songs linger and we prepare in a few days or weeks to step back into real life, I would ask you to hear this again, not as a cliche, but as a promise that can hold the full weight of whatever your fear is. Because a Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord, fear not. Not because life suddenly becomes predictable or easy, not because nothing hard will ever happen, but because a Savior has been born. God did not stay distant from our fear. He stepped into it. He entered our darkness, our hiding places. And instead of condemning us, he came to rescue us. Yes, Christmas is God saying, you are not alone, you are not forgotten, and you don't have to save yourself, because actually you can't. The fear that has shaped your decisions, haunted your sleep, maybe followed you into this room this afternoon, does not get the final word. Jesus does. And not only is he a Savior, he is Christ the Lord. And that means the invitation of Christmas is not just to be comforted, it's to surrender. Not just to be soothed, but to trust. To lay down the blankets we cling to, the false securities we've wrapped our lives around, and to let him be the center, the weight, the glory of everything. Because when he gets the glory, peace follows. Not a fragile peace that disappears when circumstances change, but a peace that is rooted in the unshakable reality that God is with us and for us. So fear not, friends. A Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. And may his peace meet you tonight and carry you every day of your life until he returns for you. Would you pray with me? Usually, when we gather for Christmas Eve, I want to take a moment to, again, I don't know where everybody is that's in the room or over in Autu or down the road at Adams Mill or watching online. But if you're here today and maybe for the first time or maybe the 100th time you heard someone articulate that God actually loves you and wants a relationship with you, I want to let you know Christmas Eve 2025 can be the day that you begin to follow him with your life. Here's a prayer, if that's you, that I would invite you either to pray or use your own words. But I want to give you that opportunity today. So Father God, on this holy night, I come just as I am, carrying my fears and my questions and my failures and the places I've been hiding. And I want to confess that I have tried to save myself, to find peace in things that cannot hold me, to quiet my fear apart from you. But today I've heard the good news that a Savior has been born. And Jesus, I believe that you stepped into my darkness not to condemn me, but to rescue me. And I want to receive your grace, your forgiveness, your presence. And I ask you to meet me right where I am. I want to follow you with my life. And friend, if you're here today and you articulated that to God for the first time, I want to invite you to do something. I want to invite you to share with somebody that you decided on Christmas Eve to follow Jesus. It could be a friend, it could be a family member, maybe someone who invited you to the service tonight, or maybe you're here every Sunday and you just decided you wanted to start following Jesus. You might be sitting here going, Jason, I actually don't have anybody that I know that I could talk about this with. Well, I'll be down front after this service and I would love to talk with you. Father God, for all of us here tonight, we choose to trust you, not just as Savior, but as Christ, the Lord of our lives. And so we want to once again lay down our false securities, our need for control, our fear of surrender. And we want to continue to truly trust our lives fully into your hands. Would you please be the center of our hearts and our lives? Would you be the glory that we live for and the peace that we rest in? Glory to God in the highest. And may your peace guard our hearts now and forevermore. Amen. Would you stand with us and let's sing Silent Night together.